I've spent years doing, you know, domestic policy and various jobs in the government and outside the government. And one of the areas I've worked in is service policy. And I realized that I'd sit in these rooms where people would talk about what do we do about education and the school dropout rate, or what do we do about health care? So many people are overweight and unhealthy. And none of these rooms ever included a conversation about service as a strategy to address these problems. It was a total silo, a whole separate issue. And I just realized that we need to bring these conversations together if we're going to solve them.
And in many ways, it seems like we don't know. We either hire people to solve the problems almost because we don't trust volunteers or volunteerism. Is that your sense?
Well, you know, my sense is that it really works best if you have professionals who, you know what needs to be done, working together with volunteers and other national service participants who can be their ground troops or extra pairs of hands. It's not the case that you can kind of say, oh, government's getting out of this field, let's just leave it to the volunteers. That's almost never going to be a good way to do it. But if you have a teacher in a classroom who's got a handful of kids who are misbehaving or who need extra help or who need, you know, something the teacher doesn't have the time or the resources to give, that's a great way to engage volunteers to, you know, to do something really important, which is help our kids learn.
Your book walks through a number of different areas, strengthening civic engagement, advancing education, improving health and well-being. Are there certain areas where this works better than in other areas?
You know, that's a great question. You know, I think, you know, I often think you can probably find a terrific way to engage volunteers in almost any area, but we certainly have seen an amazing track record in education, very strong track records in health. Helping older people live independently, I think, is an area of tremendous untapped potential and certainly something this country needs to look at as baby boomers age and want to stay in their own homes.
I know one of your chapters is on the environment, and we're all watching the Gulf oil spill, and people seem to be really coming together to try and help out however they can. It seems like one of the bigger challenges often asking people to help, and then B, coordinating those efforts so it ends up in a positive direction rather than people just out there flailing.
Well, that's right. And, you know, that's an area where I think it's very complicated. Certainly, you know, AmeriCorps especially, but, you know, also you know, community volunteers have had an amazing track record working in disaster response. After the hurricane in the Gulf, you know, they were not only there, you know, very quickly after the storm, but have been there for years rebuilding, and that's a story that doesn't get told very often. You know, right now we're looking at the Gulf, and everybody says, we want BP to pay, so
right,
don't bring any volunteers. But there are certainly roles, and this is something that's going to go on for, you know, decades. And I think it's a wonderful thing about Americans that they want to help, and we ought to be building the systems that will make their engagement really productive. And maybe that's something that some of the you know, reparations ought to go to.
Our audience, mostly federal and government folks, as opposed to the actual volunteers out there, is there a good way for those people, for government agencies, to tap into this almost untapped resource?
You know, there is. You know, we now have a pretty well-developed system through the Corporation for National Service and its state offices and state commissions to you know, mobilize people. AmeriCorps members who are usually working full-time and do get, you know, living allowances, so they're able to support themselves through their service for a year. And believe me, it's not much. But they are really good at supervising community volunteers. So you can put a VISTA member or AmeriCorps member in a community through these structures, and they can recruit, supervise, place, you know, dozens or hundreds of people from the community who want to help. So, you know, most federal agencies probably have some volunteer programs, but they aren't using them on the scale that they could. And partnering with the Corporation for National and Community Service or with a growing number of mayor's offices who have stepped forward to say, I want to make my city a city of service. There's 10 chief service officers that have been appointed in cities, actually 11, and that's a growing opportunity as well.
As I was thinking about it, it seems like a number of the areas that you mentioned are areas where people, environment, very passionate about that. Education, of course, if you have kids, you're very, very passionate about that. Elderly, all of us are dealing with elderly people in some form or fashion at some point, or will be, we hope. But if it's an area outside where you're personally involved, is it still easy to get people to be involved, to volunteer, to offer up their time?
You know, the thing that's amazing about Americans is they will step up if they're asked. But if they're not asked, they don't know where they're needed, and they are not necessarily going to – they're going to go to their local school or their local church, which is fine. But if we –
Which that seems to be the bigger problem for feds is so much of this ends up being a local thing rather than almost hard to get that kind of stuff at a federal level.
Well, you know, a lot of federal programs go down to the local level, and if the feds were to say – we want to know not just what you're going to do with paid professionals, but how their work will be enhanced and supplemented by volunteers on the ground. That would make a big difference.
Yeah.
So, you know, when we're putting out a grant, we don't ask that question. But, you know, that ought to be a plus. It ought to be an allowable use of funding because, you know, volunteers aren't really free. They're tremendously low cost and high leverage, but you have to pay somebody to, you know, make sure that what they're doing is what needs to be done.
I've seen a number of instances with these Web 2.0 tools that are out there now where people can organize. And in fact, one of the people that I'm a Fed that I'm very impressed with is a young kid who started off doing a contest to get people to know about radon. And the people who won, the people who, you know, as they put it out there on YouTube, the people who won all got to know one another and ended up forming their own group around radon. And now they're out proselytizing, doing exactly what EPA wanted folks to do. It's almost a way to tap into that volunteer effort. And again, it doesn't take a huge effort, but it seems like these opening up government initiatives can enable this in some way.
You know, you're exactly right, and you know this area well. It is definitely the trend and an area of great opportunity for agencies to put out the toolkits, put out the call to action. And, you know, if you want people to change their behavior, the best way to do that is get a bunch of kids to go around and educate their parents and their neighbors and their family members. So any agency that's struggling with, well, gosh, how do we get people to recycle more? How do we change eating habits? You know, there's any number of things that the federal government's concerned about. Well, you know, use these social networking opportunities to put out high-quality stuff they can use, and let people organize their friends, let the little community service club in Chevy Chase or whatever take on a challenge like this. There's some organizations that are doing a great job with it. AARP is one. If you look at their Create the Good website, has a lot of terrific toolkits like this. There's some on serve.gov, United We Serve, the federal government's website, and there's also a group called Kaboom that's doing this with playgrounds. So it's starting to be the way you get large numbers of people to do things.